Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons stars in the new MGM Plus original series, The Westies.
There it is, Javits Center.
Biggest construction project in the history of New York falls into the lap of the Irish.
This Irish crime gang built New York City on blood, sweat, and loyalty. Their legend is true.
The Italians outnumber us about 100 to 1.
Their story is criminal.
This Irish guy's threatening war.
He's gotta go.
Keep out of Hell's Kitchen.
The Westies. Watch now. Only on MGM Plus.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? Guys, age!
You want a cup of Jawa juice?
I'm gonna make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
All right, Light Camera Barstool, movie and TV news time. Jeff D. Lowe alongside Gooch and Ken. Jack, the lights in the studio are fucking crazy.
It's a million degrees in
look
there,
like, look like I'm dying on
Jeff
camera.
Jeff D. Lowe's crumbling under the lights.
I look like I'm dying. I mean, I look like death regardless.
He's outside of his little studio in California.
Yeah. I look bad regardless, but I look like I'm, my eyes are bleeding on camera. That there you go. That's a good
you kind of do. I didn't even look
Yeah, if you're watching, you get to make fun of my eyes, my face. And if you're on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video. But for everybody, it is movie and TV news time. Kind of a lot of big things, but like quick hit big things. Mm-hmm. Like nothing crazy, no huge trailers. Dave Filoni, final week of November, by the way, in terms of movie news. Dave Filoni promoted the chief creative officer at Lucasfilm. That seemed inevitable for a long time. Kathleen Kennedy not going anywhere, though.
Yeah. And so people are like, oh, it doesn't matter at all. Even though Kathleen Kennedy made like a lot of their produced a lot of their favorite movies,
all the great stuff.
I don't like the Disney stuff, but Rogue One's pretty good, and I like Mandalorian, and like Ahsoka was solid.
Yeah, it's like,
and like the new Clone Wars,
all that. Yeah,
Kathleen Kennedy is.
I don't like Disney Star Wars though. I just like those eight things.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
This felt like inevitable, right? Where it's like almost as if he was already doing all of this already. It's and it's almost like everyone wanted it anyways. He's like the one guy that has the pulse on Star Wars better than anybody, even more so than Lucas. I think that's pretty much been evident since the Clone Wars animated series. So good. I say good for Star Wars, good for Filoni.
He's like the fans if fans had restraint.
Yeah, exactly. If fans had like logic and reason.
Because you know? We could never do it because we would sneak in bullshit.
We'd
find our first thing to put Dexter Jetster.
We'd call in a character and call like Blurpo Max or whatever. Like, that would be all of us.
Babu Frick would have his own spinoff. Yeah.
But he's good at like at the little stuff. Yeah. So I think it's a good move for them. I think Star Wars is oddly in like better shape than like Marvel is right now in terms of.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of sentiment, Star Wars, you're never going to please all the fans. But I think they've done some good stuff. I think they kind of know. They kind of know where they're at. I don't know. I think a lot of Disney Star Wars has been great.
I think the biggest thing is just have someone there with a plan, like just an overall overarching plan for the IP and for the universe. Because it just for 2 decades now, it's felt like they're doing a lot of stuff, but it's just everywhere.
The lack of a major plan for the sequel trilogy was a huge mistake.
Yeah,
and that's what. That's what ended up biting.
No cohesion, but it feels like it's definitely been better now. Although, like with a couple different like missteps, like Boba Fett, I think is a little bit of a miss. But like,
yeah,
Ahsoka's tied in with Mando perfectly fine, so we'll see.
Obi-Wan had issues, very
Obi-Wan
big
for sure, but Obi-Wan not really connected in cohesion in that same way with those series like Mando and Ahsoka.
Right.
But I think those two have had really good cohesion so far, and even I guess to a degree, the parts where Book of Boba Fett had to meld with Mandalorian, which is the Mandalorian episodes. Like those are really good too. So
and Andor, a critically acclaimed. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Andor, amazing.
It's
one of the best shows on TV. Period.
Yeah.
By far the best stuff Disney Plus has put out has been their Star Wars stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It clears the Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. Like not even close.
Man, dude, they had those first pictures for Agatha, Coven of Chaos.
Did they really?
Yeah. There's like some pictures from the set or whatever. Ooh.
Yeah. Not.
Is she looking like she's up to? Is she being chaotic?
Up to no good or whatever. Oh man.
Coven of Chaos.
I can't believe
baby.
They're still doing that. They had the whole strike to like use that as an excuse to be like, yeah, we're decided against it.
I just imagine Catherine Hahn sitting at home like, oh, geez, I wish they just canceled this.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw another thing, too, with like Marvel said, like, they're going to not do the special presentation thing. They did one. They're like,
and it was great.
They didn't do well. Like, You did one of them.
You did a single one on a very like niche subject, and people did. Everyone that watched it pretty much liked it.
I also think Marvel's big enough where it's like not everything has to be like major numbers. Like you need to mix in. Once you get this large, you need to start mixing in some variety. Like you got to do some high class stuff.
Some shorts. They did actually do shorts. They did the Jedi shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Which are kind of cool.
Those were
neat. Oh, those were neat. The Yaddle one was neat.
And I like the anime ones too. Like some of the, it's hit or miss because that's all those anthology things are. But like the ones that hit are really good.
I like the one with the twins.
That was a good.
The Disney Star Wars haters, like there's some justifiable things to say, but a lot of them, it's like, you're reaching. You're reaching. Now he's such me. Nick Holt, a.k.a. Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever called him Nick.
Cast as Lex Luthor in James Gunn's Superman Legacy, which is funny because when the rumor mill started about who was going to play Superman, his name was in there.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, it's going to be Lex Luthor. Like, oh, no, it's Superman. Well, now he is actually playing Lex Luthor. He looks like a young Lex Luthor.
Good pretty pick. Solid. Great pick, in my opinion. Looks especially good. Personality-wise. Like, well, not personality, but like the characters he's played on screen. He's very good at that type of character.
Looks great with the shaved head, Mad Max. I think he could really pull
it. Oh.
Yeah, you forget he's in Mad Max sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, he had the shaved head, and he was like freaky as fuck, although that's not exactly the same temperament as Lex Luthor, but I do think that that's a great pick. Great actor, like younger, up-and-coming, matches the age of, what's his name, Corn Sweat? Roll Boy?
Yeah.
Corn Sweat?
Corn Sweat.
Corin.
I thought it was like, Krona Sweat.
I like
David Cronenberg.
I thought it was like David Cronenberg. I thought it was Krona Sweat.
That's what they call it when like, you're sweating under like the fly.
He sounds like a better Clark Kent. See, David Corn Sweat sounds like a good Clark Kent.
That's why I'm so pumped about him.
Yeah. Corn Sweat. Like Kansas corn. Like, exactly.
Interesting. But Krona Sweat sounds like a Superman.
Nick Holt almost also comes out better in this now that I'm thinking about it. Cause he did. He tested for Batman too and Superman. But now he gets to just play a villain. Maybe do it once or twice.
Massive prediction. He will be the star of that movie.
Yeah.
People are like, Holt's Luthor was crazy. Like, I bet he ends up benefiting as the number one guy.
I think I got a different pick for who will be the star. I got a different pick.
Brosnahan?
Nah.
Who?
The Jizz Man. Jizz lands on top.
Skylar Gisondo, who the Jizz Man. We've been a fan of the Jizz Man for a long time on this pod. I thought this was fake. Because Skylar Gisondo's name, it's gone beyond us. Everyone always puts Skylar Gisondo's name on the forefront of all castings. He actually is playing Jimmy Olsen. Mm-hmm. The most recent Jimmy Olsen, I forgot who played him, was brutally executed by terrorists. In Batman v Superman.
Oh, he was really hot too, right?
Yeah,
he was like some hot dude.
He was brutally executed.
Yeah, Superman number like a minute executed. Too late. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Superman. And then Superman came in and just killed people.
He was there. He was there just in time to save, what's her name, but not enough to save him, which is
right.
Crazy.
Lois saved. He shows up and immediately kills multiple people.
Because, like, every terrorist in the whole place.
The Jizz Man playing Jimmy Olsen.
He looks just like Jimmy Olsen.
I will say, though, here's a role potentially could have a Jar Jar effect. Jimmy Olsen is a bit of a
goofball
meme.
Yeah, Jimmy Olsen's, you know.
I feel like he won't be a huge part of this movie.
Made fun of
I think he'll be a massive part of this movie.
No, makes you
it's that. Such a James Gunn character. He's it just is. Like he's grounded. He's like goofy, no superpowers.
Lois.
Yeah, like like he's gonna humanize everything. Like I think James Gunn is gonna write a pretty large part for Jimmy.
We'll see. I mean, I it's a goofy character. We'll see how it plays though. DC fans are weird. That is the one thing. It's worth noting. The Peacemaker is so fucking good.
And Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the Jizz Man is in. Jimmy Olsen was almost played by Chris Rock if they would have done another Superman Lives. Really? I just rewatched The Death of Superman Lives, that great documentary about the Nick Cage Superman, and Chris Rock was going to play Jimmy Olsen.
Bringing that up, by the way, did you see Nick Cage talk about the his scene in The Flash?
Yeah, he doesn't seem to really remember doing it, first off.
He says it wasn't what he shot.
Yeah.
He said he never shot any of that.
It's also it's a horrible job at recreating what that Superman was supposed to look like a complete whiff.
Mm. There's a lot about that was kind of fucked up.
It looked AI.
It looks horrible.
And a big ass real mechanical spider attacking him there.
So here's some casting news from the other side, people not in things anymore. This is tragic. So we got a big screamer in here.
Not anymore.
What do they call you?
Actually, I am OG Screamer.
What are Scream fans called?
I don't know.
Ghosties?
Ghosties.
No, that's like Ghost or Ghostbusters. Screamies.
Oh, God. That just makes it so lame.
That sounds perfect.
We don't need nicknames.
Scream fired Melissa Barrera. She had some social media posts.
It's a big poster.
About some, I believe, pro-Palestine stuff.
Yeah.
That were taken into question. I honestly couldn't really find exactly what she got in trouble for.
She posted like nonstop. I was reading through the post. Yeah. I didn't really see anything that was like
nothing that stuck out. Like a lot, not to get all into, you know, what's going on over there. Obviously it's pretty horrible. But there's, when you see someone say shit, you're like, that's gonna get like there was nothing. I may have missed it. Whatever happened, they didn't care because they did fire her from Scream.
I saw like 20 different, like that exact feeling is what I saw after reading like 20 different Amy Schumer posts. Not after reading any of those Barrera ones. I was like,
surprised.
Pretty, I don't like anybody dying posts. And I was like, I don't know why.
Schumer's got nothing to get fired from is the
issue.
That's
also favorite.
But yeah, no, those posts, I think the one that got called into question, I think the most was like she insinuated she pointed out like Western media's coverage of the whole situation. And I guess some people took it as an insinuation that she was saying like Jewish people control the media, like continuing that stereotype.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that's a leap you feel comfortable taking, I get that.
It was kind of like one of those things where you have to, that's how you have to interpret it, but it can be interpreted a couple different ways.
So she was canned from Scream seven.
We're on seven.
Jenna Ortega also exited the film. But there's conflicting reports on why that happened.
Yeah, they're like, it happened a couple months ago, but then they just report that.
Which the timing is, though, that's rather insane that timing.
Not leaking, until just now seems odd.
It just happened to come out when you fired the other main person in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reports were either not paying her enough or conflicting schedule with Wednesday.
Which they already did not pay Neve Campbell enough to come back to her fucking franchise.
I would like to, I respect their consistency of like, we're just not going to pay anybody. Like, all right, well, if you're, you're unfair to everyone, at least. Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was money. I mean, obviously Wednesday, she's a significantly, it's
significantly
star.
Better too, in every possible way.
I don't know how they do Scream 7 now. Scream 5 and 6,
I don't know.
Like, are just completely, they're the Carpenter sisters. Like, that is like the buildup to Sam's storyline. Dates. I don't know.
You don't do it. You do your dad.
I don't think they can do it.
You got to back to Dewey or whatever. Fucking
Dewey's dead.
I know, but you got to do something. Dewey's kids.
Yeah.
Ugh. Dewey doesn't have kids, does he? No.
No.
He has a bastard.
All right, let's not pretend that they can't stretch some things in this universe and make some things
Gale,
up.
Make Gale the main character. She's never been killed. She cannot be killed. She's indestructible. Mm-hmm. That woman gets stabbed 7, five times.
Gale.
Honestly, I just say you don't go any further. Have you guys seen the Gale memes, the Walmart lady?
What?
The Walmart lady?
Oh,
doing the sign off her. Oh,
love Gale.
Yeah, I love the Walmart lady. Yeah.
They're so funny. They do like the full like patriotic send off thing. Yeah. Like,
with the Lady Gaga album. Yeah, yeah, kills
me. So he said they were sending shopping carts down the aisle. She walked out flyover. Yeah.
They're incredible.
Very, very good. Christopher Nolan, this is a good, I like this a lot. He's not doing Bond, which I'm happy about because don't believe it would have just been one. And I think for me, I think he is one of the very few people, and he just proved it, Oppenheimer, that can still do a big mega blockbuster moment release about kind of anything the fuck he wants. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather him do that and have someone else do Bond. His Bond would be amazing. It'd be a great fucking Bond. Yeah. It'd be cool as shit, but I'd rather him release his next Oppenheimer than do something that other directors have done well and can do well.
Yeah, that's fair. It's hard to kind of quantify because I miss really good espionage movies, and I feel like we haven't had them in a while. And I think they've been replaced by movies like John Wick and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, we need to build out this whole assassin world. It needs to be hyperviolet. It needs to be this. I kind of miss really good espionage movies. And obviously, like Nolan would crush that. All of his movies, even if you don't think of them really as espionage movies, like that's all really Inception is.
Yeah, Inception is just
yeah, and like Tenet is too to a degree. Like all these movies kind of like flirt that same concept. So I would love for him to do it just because it would kind of revitalize this genre, which has been, I don't know, just hasn't had a great movie in a while. So I would love that.
You're right. They all want to be Wick.
Exactly. And they've shifted at that whole, the desire for those movies has moved on to a different sort of thing. I guess the landscape kind of changed there. But I would love for him to do it. And I would still love for him to do it. But if like he wants to go do another sort of more conceptual thing, like an Interstellar, Interception, whatever, or if he wants to do another fucking biopic, I don't care. He's Nolan. He's the biggest unicorn in all the movies. So he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I think we'd all love to see him do one. We just don't want it to eat up the back third of his career.
Like, I don't think he would just do one. I really
That's the problem.
Yeah. I don't think the Broccolis will let it happen. I think
the Broccolis are tough.
Dude, I think they're the biggest hard ass producers in like the world.
It's hilarious that
they have like a vice grip on that IP.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they want one actor and probably one director to stick through a full storyline.
Which I think could do like Inception Light. Would it be like James Gray or something? Like if you're to do like have Nolan do one, then Gray do two, and then like who's another like kind of Nolan-ish guy that could do a third? Like I don't know, you could do that. I think
McQuarrie, but McQuarrie does Mission Impossible.
So locked in on Mission Impossible,
yeah. And that's like a different style too. I don't.
Tom Cruise would kill McQuarrie in his guest bedroom.
I mean, if Tom Cruise could be Bond,
they live together.
Yeah, if he did move on to Bond, Nolan did make a big point about blockbuster movies though and franchises. He did. Oh, he does say they're needed, which is great.
Yeah. I love that quote.
Yeah.
Can we pull that up?
Yeah, pull up that quote. But he talked about how they are needed. I mean, this man did three Batman movies. Yeah. Like he is aware. Like, but they are important, and that's that. We've gone to a point in movie discourse where it's a buzzword to talk about franchises and tentpole stuff in such a negative way, where that is just ridiculous. Like, you need them. Like, you still need this form of entertainment, but it's like it's the endless like another non-original Hollywood. You can have that. They can exist, and they should exist, because then you can allow for other shit.
Exactly. Yeah, it helps open the doors for a lot of other things. And like, who doesn't love going to a good blockbuster?
Did you find it?
No, I can't find it now.
Right, like who doesn't like that's the thing. It's like the people who act like you've enjoyed every a movie, fucking franchise movie one time in your life.
Every movie must be like auteur cinema that like has like crazy higher meanings and all these other things and needs to be like done with like the greatest artistic touch. Like no,
sometimes you go. I got the cooch.
I'm like watching people ship.
I'm just going through like just synesthetic fucking tweets, cinema tweets.
Not a good
Google. I Google. I Twittered.
Ah, no, you axed.
No one has ever said that. It's one of the most. I was talking about.
This I put it somewhere today. Somebody correct me. Like, you mean X? I go, no,
dude. The first time I ever saw someone actually refer to it X organically was like Tiffany Gomes or whatever her name is. Like, someone said like, yeah, I went X today. I'm like, who the fuck has ever said that? Dude,
I'm on Twitter 4 hours a day, and still, when I see a link of Twitter X.com posted, I still think I'm getting sent a porn link.
Said,
it's not a thing.
There's always a balance in Hollywood between established titles that can assure return an audience and give people more of what they want. That's always been a big part of the economics of Hollywood, and it pays for a lot of other types of films he made and distributed. There also always has to be respect for the audience's desire for something new. I mean, it's completely spot on. There is a balance, but you tweeted the other day about like buzzwords and movies or something, and you mentioned like it's the same people who only say A24. You ask about like studios and stuff. Yeah, it's like exactly. All right, it's like I love arts. Like I fucking love going to Saltburn. Batshit weirdo stuff that's not like Bond or Mission Impossible or Star Wars. That those are great, but you know what, I also enjoy going to see the new Hunger Games movie, and like there is a balance there.
Not every meal needs to be like this Michelin star crazy thing. Sometimes you just want a sizzling fajita that entertains you, or you want to go to fucking Benihana and see the new hibachi, like whatever. Like sometimes you just need that.
People do that about food. It's like you get McDonald's when you live in New York and you could. It's like, you know, I know.
Fuck.
I'll go there tomorrow.
Oh.
I'm eating tomorrow as well. Like,
yeah,
I also have to eat again. Like I will go there again.
Dude, I saw a White Castle wrapper on the sidewalk 2 days ago and I craved it immediately.
It opened up very close to my apartment. It is.
Oh, it's here?
Yeah.
It is close to where you live. It's on
like 37th, I think.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, they deliver too. Get it today.
It's only like a 10 minute walk for me and I'm just like, every time I like see it, I'm just like, the juice is flowing.
A White Castle now does like their own version of pizza rolls. So I'm in the grocery store.
Yeah, I dabble.
Yeah. And then lastly, this is more you guys though. This is I'm not a big
Naruto.
Naruto.
Yeah.
Naruto live action movie.
Yeah, no, Naruto. They're gonna have a live action, which just seems
just ill-advised.
I don't understand. Like you, it's like you can't make a good like ninja property or whatever. But like, there's just do a ninja movie. Why does that have to be Naruto? Like, how do you make that? Like, it's like kid ninjas fighting each other and shit. Like, it's just I don't get it. I don't see it.
Yeah, like they're like 12 years old.
Exactly. It's like 12-year-olds. Like if you do like the later, like I get was like ship it in or whatever. Like more when they're closer to adults. Like maybe you got something there, but you need all the backstory. So
do a Jiraiya movie. Jiraiya Tsunade. Yeah. What was there? Three people and
Christina Hendrickson as Tsunade.
Bonk. And who's the snake dude? Orochi.
Yeah.
Do that when they're in their like their 20s and 30s. But yeah, no, kids like kid ninjas, what are we doing?
That's not something. That's something like I feel like Japan will do a lot of live action anime adaptations, like that shitty Fullmetal Alchemist one.
Oh, yeah.
They just never work, and I don't really get it. And again, I'm hesitant because of how good the One Piece turned out being. I feel like it just broke my brain where I'm like, oh, maybe this couldn't work.
And we'll see. Like, there's other, I mean, obviously the Avatar thing is a huge. That I will say, if One Piece and Avatar end up being good, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of crazy. If somebody laid out in front of you, here's One Piece, let's say Last Airbender's good. Avatar. One Piece, which for me, I can't have as much. Like, I've watched Avatar.
Yeah.
And then the third one I did watch, Cowboy Bebop. If you said, what's going to be the best of three, I would have said, well, it's Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
That sure. Seems
it's and easiest then to do.
They just shat themselves.
It's just sci-fi.
They're like, hey, you know the first part of Cowboy Bebop? How about we just, like, expand it? Like, take the dialogue and just add more. They should have done, just do it
word for word.
You're better off doing it one for one than trying to think you could expand on it.
Stupid.
All right, movie review time here on Lights, Camera, Barstool. Another Ridley Scott movie. Well, I say another, like we've just did another one. Mm-hmm. We haven't done one in a year. I think almost a year, right? Literally a year. House of Gucci was like right around this time. House of
Gucci, last duel before that.
We'll talk about his whole filmography in a second. I think it's very relevant to. Oh, it's been 2 years. House of Gucci was 2021.
Really?
Wait, what?
No. That came out last year. Wow. What the fuck?
Paolo.
I would have actually bet, if you would have said $100 right now, I would have said it's 2022.
I remember talking about it a lot during Oscar season of that other season. Yeah, so now it's coming together.
Wow. Father, okay. Son. It's been 2 years.
House of Gucci.
Napoleon, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Vanessa Kirby. Look at the military commander's origins and his swift, ruthless climb to emperor, viewed through the prism of his addictive and often volatile relationship with his wife and one true love, Josephine. Very even on critics and audience ratings right now. 60% approval rating, Rotten Tomatoes. From audiences, 61% from critics, I think, or flip it one way or the other. Surprised, because it is Ridley Scott. I liked Last Duel more the second time I saw it. I disliked House of Gucci more the second time I saw it. I would lower both those. I was higher on House of Gucci than most people. I think I enjoyed how stupid it was. It was just such a goofy ass time. And Last Duel was solid, though I didn't love, like, some people loved Last Duel to like large levels, like one of the best of the year. I didn't like it quite as much. Napoleon has a lot of highs for me, but there are a lot of boring ass fucking lows. And my initial leaving the theater was, and I love Ridley Scott. When I look at his filmography, I was like, I love Ridley Scott movies. Definitely the twilight of his career. This is a bummer. Mm-hmm. It's a bummer. Like, I think it's like perfectly okay. I gave it a 72 out of 100. I think the good is really good. And I think everything else is not bad. It's just like, eh. It's like, all right. Yeah. It got to the point where I'm like, this, I was like, if this continues, I'm going to hate this. And then it'll do something good again.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. But yeah, initial score 72 out of 100 for Napoleon, which is I really, Scott, like the expectations are there to be in like the 90s for things. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, I think I'm like if I had to consider myself like among like the ranks of his fans, like I think I'm a big time Ridley Scott defender for the most part. Like I definitely liked Last Duel ton. Not, I'd say, to like the largest extent of like best of the year or anything like that. Wasn't huge on House of Gucci. This is
the most weren't.
Yeah. This one I think was a big time bummer, mostly because it combines two things that are a couple things I really like, which is, you know, Ridley Scott, war epic, and like really fascinating source material in just the life of Napoleon. And I think when it came all together, this was sort of like, I don't think anyone, like, I think everyone on board of this movie had a different interpretation of what the script was supposed to be. And you end up with like five different types of movies all mishmashed into one. And I didn't like really how any of it came together. And I think it is, this movie is crippled by one of my, this is something I've talked about before when we talk about movies, something that I think is so unnecessary, which is just giving you a humanization of a character through their relationship to someone else. And I thought that this movie was crippled by Josephine. Every single scene where she is not there, and that is no disrespect to Vanessa Kirby, is amazing. Every scene where she is there, I'm like, this is not the same movie I'm watching in other points in this movie. Oh, and it's I would love this if there's two separate movies. If we did like, this is the Elvis versus Priscilla, you know what I mean? That would be totally fine. I think she made this movie. And again, Vanessa Kirby was amazing. Incredible performance.
Oh yeah, she was.
And this is just, it totally derailed what were some really great sequences in this movie. And I think took away from the time too. This movie needed more time to explain shit and like put stuff in your head. Like they're talking about like, oh, this guy invaded the director. Like, I don't know what the shit is. You're going to give us something here. I don't want to have to wiki everything. And I don't know. It was just kind of a bummer. I ended up on a 65 out of 100 for this.
Yeah, I'm at 65 too. And I have a lot of the same points as you. And sometimes I'll feel smart if I can pick out stuff in a movie. But I think everyone I've talked to has kind of come away with the same conclusion. It's like, there's great stuff in here, but it just does not fit together or flow well together at all. Like, the battle sequences, fantastic. Amazing.
Production value, sick.
Yeah, it
but rushed
incredible.
Through at points. And
2 seconds long.
It's like we're supposed to believe Napoleon's this great. We'll get more into it, but this great war tactician, and it's like, well, the war just kind of happens. He waves his arm. Don't really get into it. The lead performances, fantastic, but that doesn't really work with the battles that are going on. And then it veers off into like Death of Stalin.
You're style right. That was, comedy. I saw your tweet before I saw the movie, and that was like a dead on comparison because there are points where it's just goofball shit.
Yeah, very funny.
And everyone's doing their own accents and stuff, and like it is very Death of Stalin-y at points.
But it's like it just doesn't fit with none of those three parts fit together. Yeah. And so you're just like it just drags. It ends up dragging forever. You feel 2 hours and 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel that 3 hours. You feel it hard. I imagine the 4-hour cut's going to be better. Like every Ridley Scott project when he does a director's cut. But it's like, if you have a good cut, just put the good cut in theaters.
Right.
Just do that. Or else people are never going to watch the good cut because they're going to be like, another hour of this? And hell no.
Kingdom of Heaven, or you end up with like every other, like every Ridley Scott movie just has a better director's cut. It's incredible.
I'm gonna wait for the ultimate edition.
I think the acting is great. I think there's a lot of great acting. I mean, Joaquin Phoenix doesn't mail anything in. He's fantastic. Vanessa Kirby is great. It looks amazing.
The sets are so good.
Yeah, incredible costume design.
See it in the biggest thing you can see it in. Like it's meant to be seen in the big screen, which is great. But it's odd that like somebody come with a caveat where you're like, oh, that whole thing was great. It's like, and it's gone, and it's over.
Yeah.
Like it's had such an inconsistent flow to the movie where every time I thought it was going to ramp up and do something great, it kind of just slowed down and it kind of never really hit a groove. It never felt like it really found its footing. And that was kind of the same way on the opposite end where every time it hit something negative, I was like, I don't really love this. I was like, this is going to get bad. It kind of hit peaks again where kind of gets you back in and then it kind of lulls off. It's very odd the way it moves. And like even for example, House of Gucci, or even like Last Duel, it was consistent in what it was trying to do. House of Gucci was consistent in a way that people found it off-putting.
Yeah,
and it's goofy as hell, but it never had like a like you were engaged and you may fucking hate it, but you were engaged with it. Where this, like, there are times where like I kind of drifted off.
Yeah, I think the biggest positives, again, I would agree with you. Acting was like, I don't think there's a bad performance in it. Production value through the roof, looked amazing. Like, and you know, I feel like we haven't gotten a movie from this era in a while that was like, at least at this scale, that looked this great. All that's fantastic. It's just, it's literally three different movies mashed into one. It is like a Death of Stalin version of this would be hilarious.
I really want that.
Yeah. Like, it'd be absolutely hysterical.
The Joaquin Phoenix stuff, when he like runs out and he's like, they're trying to kill me.
All that shit's goofy. It's very funny. And like, it has that same vibe. Like, that shit's all great. The war epic, I would love to see that too. And then the relationship thing, would want to see it the least out of these three, make that its own thing too. I really think that all the good stuff in this really gets derailed by how much they focus on his relationship with Josephine. And it really is just so distracting, you know, because like, and if again, if that was the whole point, if the movie was just about his relationship with her, that'd be great. Or like if it was told through the lens of her versus the lens of Napoleon, great. That'd be a totally great different movie. But in this context, I think it just really, really derails a lot of what they're trying to give you. And it's frustrating.
I also think it's just too much. Like Napoleon is just too there's too much to Napoleon to do like a full on biopic where should have been a mini series or maybe.
It would have been a great mini series.
Or maybe just focus on one section of his life, like focus on his campaign in Egypt or focus on his rise, his usurping of the throne or his coup d'etat of the throne. Don't focus on his entire fucking life. Like, It was too much. Like Jeff said, it would move, it ramp up. You have like a battle and then it would just reset. The
battle would take like 2 seconds. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, you're like, oh, I'm getting into it. And like, it feels like it's in fast forward. You know what I mean? And like, I don't really totally like, cause they're trying to show you like different movements and stuff, like show you like, oh, he's this big tactical genius and all these things. And then like, it's just like, oh, now we're winning the battle and it's over. It's like, yeah. That's,
it's like, oh, they ran at him from the side. Yes. Okay, sweet.
It's just fucking, I don't know, man. It was missing a lot of juice or just direction, I guess, which is more on Ridley Scott than anything. And I guess editors too, but still.
I mean, look at his run. So Last Duel, House of Gucci, people like Last Duel, but massive box office flop.
Yeah.
Did nothing.
Last Duel?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was mad about that too. Alien Covenant.
Alien Covenant was not as good as Prometheus. I could say that comfortably.
All the Money in the World was Plagued, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, that's
solid. Oh, movie. That was good.
Plagued to the Kevin Spacey thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then replaced by Christopher Plummer was fucking amazing in it. Yep. Martian was great.
Love the Martian.
Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Oof. That was a rough one.
Terrible. Oh, the Counselor. I forget one. Even did The Counselor.
Oh, that's the one with where Brad Pitt gets his fucking like the bolo tie thing that like cuts his head off. That
Fassbender's in it. Penelope Cruz, yeah. Cameron Diaz, Jason Bateman.
I don't even remember that.
Wait, movie. No, I think. Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
I mean, Javier Bardem, yeah. Excuse me.
It's like a Coke dealer thing.
Prometheus, very divisive.
I like Prometheus a lot.
Robin Hood.
Stinky.
Oof.
Was House of Lies, American Gangster.
I like both those.
And then you get, the later you get in his career, you get these fucking amazing movies. You get Alien, you get Blade Runner. I love Matchstick Men, Black Hawk Down, Hannibal, Thelma and Louise.
Kingdom of Heaven Director's Cut.
Yeah, you are the number one Kingdom of Heaven Director's Cut.
Great movie. Great movie, Director's Cut.
It's just disappointing.
Yeah.
You expect more. It's not a stuff. I don't know. It's just like, I wish he'd do other stuff. There's other things that I wish Ridley Scott would explore that he's very good at. I want to go back to space.
Yeah.
I like The Martian. It's a great handle. Great. Really great sci-fi. Really good space sci-fi movie. The Martian. I mean, obviously Alien. Like,
he could do War Epics too. He did fucking Gladiator. Like, he does this. And again, Kingdom of Heaven. Like, he can do this shit well.
The focus wasn't. Yeah. Weird.
Like, if Gladiator was like all about the fucking queen instead of it being about Decimus Meridius, whatever the fuck his name is, like, that would, it would suck. And like, it's just like, you need to laser in on what people are interested in seeing. And all due respect to Josephine Bonaparte, no one gives a fuck about her.
No, and her in those low cut dresses, man. Dude, I was
nobody
interested.
Gives a.
All right, well, the pervy crowd is different.
That's... We're here to see Napoleon Bonaparte, bro. And if he's a big fucking simp for this lady, great.
Make the Josephine movie.
That. Yeah, make a Josephine movie, and everyone will go see that.
Can we talk about just all the funny stuff in this movie? Can we go ahead?
Very funny.
Like, just
this whole takeover is hysterical.
Yeah, the takeover. Like, I found the crown of France in the gutter. I picked it up with the tip of my sword and placed it on my head. He doesn't use a British accent, but
yeah,
that his letters when he's writing those letters to Josephine, me and this, like, I guess he was an NY student sitting next to me. He's like 19 years old. We were just cracking up. Such a cuck. He's like, there's no snakes in your bed, are there?
And that's why Joaquin Phoenix is so great at what he does. Like, he can deliver every side of that.
Yeah.
And he's great. And it's very funny. But like, again, there's a lack of focus on one thing here where it kind of, you need to be longer. It needs to be broken down a different way. The miniseries might have been good. It crams so much. You don't spend enough time on certain things to really let it sit and develop as something great.
Yeah. And just pick a tone, dude. Like, goofy, dramatics, like big, giant scope, war epic. Like, pick something. Because I feel like that also undermines it a lot. Because you see him totally being this fucking goofball loser and then like also being all these other things, and it's like you're supposed to be able to believe he's this big magnanimous character that everyone loves, and it's like it even if that's what he was in real life, you kind of undermine it a little bit, you know, and that's kind of a bummer. And it sucks because like for Joaquin Phoenix too, this is a good performance for him. Think about how good Ridley Scott directed him in Gladiator. Like, that's one of the all-time great performances ever. And if you were to even get like, and that's someone, think about it this way too, like Napoleon modeled himself after like a Roman emperor, which is what literally he played in Gladiator, and like he couldn't channel any of that through this performance. He made him into like this fucking loser dude. If that's what Napoleon was, fine. That's just not good in entertainment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that's what Napoleon was. I mean, he took over all of Europe. Like, I don't think he could be that big of a loser.
You don't make him like this personal life loser that just happened to everyone be like this gung ho over about in France. Like, it's just, I don't know. That needed to be more entertaining of a movie, or at least more loser focused.
So Napoleon doesn't totally hit. We've ruined some more stuff coming up. Saltburn, The Holdovers. Yep. Saltburn's crazy. Holdover is not crazy, but good, but not crazy. Saltburn is crazy.
Yeah.
Saltburn is going to be,
Some people are going to fucking hate that movie.
Oh, I already know.
But that's fine. I would assume that there's an intention there to have a out there reaction.
Yeah.
Put it that way. That's it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video, drop your comment below what your score would be for Napoleon with Joaquin Phoenix from director Ridley Scott. That's it for a review of Napoleon. For Ken, Jack, and Gooch, I'm Jeffy Lowe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
It's Fran from Chicks in the Office. It's peak summer. One plan is turning into five, but trust, I'll be wearing Abercrombie to all of them. Catch me in their Sloan tailored pant at work and then the happy hour right after. The Dylan dress for dinner plans when you want something easy but still put together. And of course, their denim. Because Abercrombie denim just works, no matter the plan. Keep up with the pace of summer without overthinking it. Shop in the app, online, and in stores.
Dedication isn't born in the light of day. It's carved in the quiet hours before the world blinks awake. At Boar's Head, we rise with a mission to deliver craftsmanship worthy of your table. A slice of something special folded into every moment worth savoring. Because dedication means delivering only the very best. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
Lucky? You should be. Meet the new Lucky One sweet tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients and a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
This one's brought to you by TickPick. Ever actually read a ticket receipt? Service fee? Processing fee? Convenience fee? Convenient for who? That's an extra $30 a ticket. TickPick doesn't do that. Never has, never will. No fees means the exact same seat, same section, same row. Cost less on TickPick. Fans trust TickPick for all their live events. Check the reviews yourself. So why overpay for the exact same seat? Download the TickPick app and never pay another service fee again. And for new TickPick customers, take $20 off your first order with promo code PMT20 in the TickPick app. Terms apply. That's PMT20 at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Iconic summer moments deserve an iconic drink. Reach for Mountain Dew, an American original. From its beginnings in the foothills of Tennessee to your biggest summer yet. The refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew is the perfect companion to your American summer adventures. Enjoy the refreshing citrus kick of Mountain Dew. Tasting great since 48. Look for Mountain Dew in stores near you at MountainDew.com. That's MountainDew.com.